780 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbite. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 8th of July, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Hey,
we got to leave the pause in there for him.
Yeah, and at 9 minutes after the hour, we are indeed Soundbites. As you heard, Steve is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest, bravely fighting his way through legions of law enforcement officers. He'll be here,
I'm sure.
With Shirley on his trail.
Right. All right. It's, let's start with Microsoft's monthly visitor, which is due this coming Tuesday, the Microsoft updates. Microsoft has announced that it will release 6 security updates next week. The same number as in June to patch problems in Windows, Office, and the .NET framework. 3 of the 6 bulletins scheduled for July 10th will be tagged critical, Microsoft's highest rating, while 2 will be labeled important and the 6th ranked moderate. Vulnerabilities fixed by 5 of the 6 updates, however, are remote code executable, an indicator that usually means the bugs are in the most dangerous classification. That's 5 out of 6. Because Microsoft limits the information to post in advance notification, even with the switch to a more detailed format that debuted last month, it's impossible to tell why 2 of the bulletins harboring code, remote code executable flaws are rated only as important. Of the 3 updates judged critical, 1 will fix Microsoft Excel, another will repair Windows 2000 Server and Windows Server 2003, and the 3rd will patch the .NET framework in all currently supported versions of Windows, including Vista. The pair of important bulletins addresses issues in Publisher 2007 and Windows XP Professional Service Pack 2. The moderate update, meanwhile, is limited to Windows Vista. July marked the 4th month in a row that Microsoft has posted patches for its newest operating system, which was released to the public in January. 4 non-security updates, dubbed high priority, will also post Tuesday via Windows Update, Microsoft Update, and Windows Server Update services. Some clues about the vulnerabilities likely to be patched next week will be gleaned from third-party sources. The bulletins focused on Publisher 2007 may be a fix for a bug reported by Microsoft in late February by EI Digital Security, for example. Secunia, meanwhile, has 3 disclosed but unpatched flaws in the .NET framework, but none are marked higher than moderately critical by the Danish vulnerability tracker. Assuming Microsoft releases all 6 updates, users will have faced 41 bulletins in the first half of 2007, 2 more than the 39 in the first 7 months last year. Tuesday's updates will be available for manual download from the Microsoft website about 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, assuming the company issues them on its usual timetable. So come Tuesday, be prepared to update. Those of you who are more paranoid than others, wait until Wednesday.
Well, that's what we've been saying. You know, I mean, it seems back, what, maybe 5-7 years ago, viruses used to be the big thing. We couldn't understand why so many of them were writing the viruses, because they literally accomplished nothing. All they did was slow down networks and do everything else. Well, it's like the virus writers all of a sudden got smart, and they're stopped using writing viruses, but yet they're now writing Trojans.
Right.
And you ask, well, what's the difference? Well, yeah, they sit there and mess up your machine. Both do that very well. But the thing with a Trojan are that they can gain more information, which leads to now, which we see, you know, growing rapidly, identity theft, you know, keyboard strokes that they sit there and
keyloggers.
Yeah, keyloggers, and they'll get your banking information and everything else. That's turning a profit for them. So there is no, you know, like I say, I don't think I've seen a brand new virus written in a heck of a long time.
No, it's all about the Trojans, and it's all about the social engineering, how to get them into your system.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the spyware programs and everything else are very important to run, because it's those Trojans and that are getting spyware that are getting in there that are stealing your key information and could turn your your life into a living hell.
Right.
Trying to get your credit back and, you know, everything else. I mean,
I've gotten two big ones in this last week. I am inundated with thanks for joining whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you look at the URL you're supposed to click on, it ends up being somewhere I've never been before. And I've gotten an amazing number. I am a very popular man. I've gotten an amazing number of e-cards from people I've never heard of.
But
it's very possible that I've gotten e-cards from friends. I don't even look at them anymore.
No.
Because everyone I've looked at,
mm-hmm.
you look at the URL they're sending you to, and it's owned by somebody who has either a known spammer or
mm-hmm.
it's somewhere way overseas
you
somewhere.
You've
got to
be careful again, like we've said time and time again. Be careful where you click.
Oh, and I don't know if you care. If you want it, I'll gladly share it with you guys because it's a virus. I got the entire text of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the next book, which isn't even released yet.
Yeah, they said she wound up, she finished the very last page. I guess she was in a hotel.
Yeah.
And came downstairs and was crying and everything else, very taken in by it.
By either it's done or she killed off Harry.
Yeah.
At any rate, it's supposed to be the text of the entire book. What it actually is it just says Harry is dead. It says Harry Potter is dead. That's all it says in the text. So if you actually look at the file before you open it, you think, well, this is awfully small to be the entire text of a novel. But okay, some people don't look at that. I did. And then when you open it up, of course, there's a pretty nasty worm in there that infects your machine and then infects any USB device, actually any thumb drive. And then as you take that thumb drive around to other machines, it affects them too, couldn't you?
See, that's where, and this is where, you know, a lot of the thumb drives, excuse me, I was very shocked because the thumb drive I carry around has a little locking device on it.
Yep.
Just sort of like your floppies. And that's the problem with a lot of these thumb drives.
They don't have that.
They don't have the locking device. Kingston has it on a lot of theirs, and it's the only ones that I'll use because there's no way I want to go around, because I carry most of my utilities on these thumb drives, that I want to go to
a
client.
Is that a utility in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Ooh.
I hope it's a utility,
by the way,
just so you know.
but this way, you're not taking a virus or gaining a virus because,
right.
you know, the folks, I can't take that chance.
No, you can't.
But yet, these folks, though, go so many different places with these jump drives, and they're not protected.
Yep.
That's a concern.
All right. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, your calls, and a whole lot more on the greatest computer show in the known universe. It's 16 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Don't pause for him. He's not
here. I keep forgetting.
Can you see that he's not here? Look, he's not
here. He is always here in spirit.
Yeah.
Give me
it is 20 minutes after the hour. It is Sound Bites. Unbelievable. Very quickly before we get to the phones, we've got a couple of people waiting, but very quickly, less than a week after the iPhone was released, a group of dedicated individuals announced in a wiki on Friday that they had successfully unlocked the phone, potentially allowing the use of carriers other than AT&T. This site and its various mirrors also plan to issue an internet tool to expand the functionality of the device. The site, which described itself as a place for people who want to make iPhone even more awesome than it is already out of the box, reminds those who want to try any of these tests that opening the iPhone effectively voids the warranty. It is the same site that earlier this week announced its members had cracked the root password to the iPhone OS, although it is unclear if that specific hack is even necessary. The tool the site hopes to release, iPhone Interface, promises to run any application residing on the phone, control any process running on the phone, move files around, enable the viewing of verbose information during the restore operation, and activate the phone without iTunes or a token. The first release of iPhone Interface may not do all of the above. Earlier this week, DVD John announced his own method to activate Wi-Fi and iPod features without subscribing to AT&T. We love DVD John.
All right, I guess I'm showing my age.
Yeah.
But I saw a commercial just before coming here. It's for the iPhone.
Sure.
It shows this guy. Oh, he's watching Pirates of the Caribbean on his iPhone.
And wants
it's
sushi.
Like, wait, and wants sushi, so he's looking up a restaurant. To, it's like, wait a minute. One, if I'm going to watch a movie, I'm going to watch it on this little screen versus, say, you know, a big 32-inch screen.
Right.
give me a break. And the sound quality.
Right. I like the idea of a phone and an MP3 player together. I don't need 90% of the other features, and most people don't need 90% of the other features. And
Photo album, particularly
for that amount of money. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm a geek. I just don't get it. All right, our first caller this week, Brian from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question? Brian, are you there? I'm not hearing Brian. We have no Brian. Our next caller is Dottie from Avon, New York. Welcome, Dottie. What's your question?
Well, I have to buy a laptop. I know absolutely nothing. For my granddaughter.
Yeah.
I want to know where to buy it.
All right. What do you want to do with this laptop, though, Dottie?
Oh, please. No, it's for her to take to school. The school she's going to sells Apple. She doesn't want an Apple.
Okay.
So we have to buy something because I listen to you,
mm-hmm.
and I know absolutely nothing of what you say.
That's all right. I make it up as I go along, too. So I've been doing this for 17 years, and I got people convinced.
The important thing to note, Dottie, and this is quite a coincidence, your name is, in fact, the root password for the iPhone. Sorry, go ahead.
Now you got me confused.
That's all right. Not a problem. Here's the deal. She needs to know what she's going to do with it.
Yeah.
She needs to know if she's going to just be doing papers and research and that sort of thing.
Or to say going into engineering.
No.
Right.
No, she's going like into teaching.
Well, then, see, this is where I like to sit down and talk to the folks, find out what they're going to do.
How do I find you?
Very easily. You just call 442-4843. It's Enright PC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard.
I was in there the other day, and I couldn't find you.
I'm right on Empire Boulevard, a half a mile up from Dan's Crafts. It's a big blue house.
Oh, it's a house.
Yes, it's...
signs out front.
Signs out front. Well, it says Enright PC. I got parking for 7 cars in the back.
442.
4843. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And be glad to sit down and talk to you and figure out what you want to do and go from there.
He's kind of catty corner from St. Ambrose.
Oh, I know where that is. That's where I turned around.
There you go. You just missed
it. Well, you went right by it.
Well, call Monday and get specific directions. It's 70 Empire Boulevard.
70 Empire Boulevard. It's a big blue and blue house with cream color trim.
And there's a sign on the lawn kind of sideways, so you see it coming from either direction.
But it's before the church.
It's before the church.
Yep. I know how to get there.
There you go.
Okie dokie.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right.
There you go. Our next caller is Roger from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Good morning. Question for my daughter.
She's not here.
Yeah, I know. She recently got a Dell computer with Vista on it. Had a lot of problems out of the box in terms of incompatibilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dell sent her a 2-page letter on how to hack the registry and fix it. said no way. They were going to help her, tried for several weeks to correct that and speed up Vista. Finally said, well, you're past your 21 days. You can't return it. We'll send you XP, but you no longer have a warranty. So should she remove Vista and install XP?
Yeah, I would.
I would.
Okay.
I'm really sorry about this whole thing.
That's pretty shoddy that they'll sit there and tell you. Because, one, they still offer, you can call Dell and offer, you know, get one with XP on it. It's just pretty shoddy if they're sitting there saying 20 days and boom, they won't do it anymore. Meanwhile, they're stringing you along.
Right, they strung her along saying we're going to help you. And then when she finally said you're not helping me and I'd just like to return it, they said, oh, too late, 21 days are up.
One of the things you could do if you've got any documentation about this is talk to a lawyer. Otherwise, putting XP on it is probably the better idea. I don't think Vista is ready for prime time yet. We've got to take a break. I'm sorry for your problem, Roger. I just wish there was something better I could do.
Yeah,
but
something we do in our shop.
You can, he can do it for you.
Or you can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
They say the restore
but I would talk to a lawyer if you've got any documentation on this. talk to somebody and maybe get Dell to make it right for you. That's going
to
still cost you a little
money.
Or even
to just send it back to have them load it.
Right.
Instead of him paying for somebody like a repair shop to
right.
do it, have somebody else do it.
All right, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the... Oh, it's Glenn Lambert! We have Glenn Lambert in to do the news. It's Soundbite. It's 27 minutes after the hour, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
Yes, I'm Rob Linton. You recognize this tune? Mega
yes.
Kudos if you name this tune, Nick.
I couldn't name this tune on a bat.
Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes. Okay. That was right on the tip of my tongue. I was almost there.
You didn't ask me.
It's 34 minutes after the hour.
You guys want to turn some lights on in there? I can't even see you.
Okay. Would you do me a favor?
No, you don't have to.
Keep him in the dark.
This way we get a better view of Glenn on air guitar. I don't know that I've ever seen anything. I had no idea at first that it was air guitar. I thought it was something else entirely. But I figured out it was air guitar.
Yeah, I'm working on my moonwalk, but I can't do Chevy Chase does that just so wonderfully. And I can't do it. My feet trip over each other.
Yeah. All right, he's going to be working on his moonwalk. You know the moonwalk went out like 10, 15 years ago. It's not really the thing anymore.
Shh.
All righty. And when you're done with that, go practice your half pipe. With Hollywood Studios still split over competing formats for high-def DVDs, Warner Brothers is delaying the launch of yet a third format. Actually, it's a combination of the other two. The studio introduced its Total HD disc earlier this year as a compromise between the incompatible Blu-ray and HD DVD formats. Total HD discs contain a Blu-ray copy of a movie on one side and an HD DVD version on the other, but the concept is yet to gain any traction. Because only two studios produce DVDs in both formats, Warner Brothers, there's a surprise, and Paramount Pictures. Warner believes other studios must also embrace both formats along with the Total HD technology and release at least 10 popular titles before stores will be willing to devote shelf space to the discs. Now, I don't really think that's ever going to happen because, let's face it, Sony's never going to be doing anything but Blu-ray. Not ever. It's their format. They don't care. The only studio that sells DVDs exclusively in HD DVD is Universal, which has a huge catalog of great movies. So you may end up buying a dual player rather than a dual format. Then it won't matter anymore. Several hardware makers are selling players that can accommodate both formats. The high-def discs, which offer, of course, sharper pictures and more room to hold interactive features and games, won't play on standard DVD machines. All right, we're going back to the phones, and our next caller is Jim from Victor, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
My computer, when I start it up, gets a Windows screen, and then I get this pale blue screen that says checking file system C: type of file system is NTFS, the volume is dirty, and then checking disk verifies the files, the indexes, the security descriptors. It does all that, mm-hmm. and then the computer starts up adequately. There's no other problems with it.
That generally occurs when your last shutdown was not clean.
Okay.
Or one of the other things is, depending on the BIOS, they've got the built-in virus checking in the BIOS.
Yep.
Make sure that that's disabled.
How do I do that?
You can go into the BIOS, and there's a thing for...
That's the setup program. Usually it's F2 these days when the PC is first starting up.
Or delete, one of the two. And you go into the BIOS, and there's a virus checking program, depending on the BIOS, it's under various screens, but you'll see it says virus checking. And you can just disable that. Now, because most manufacturers turn it off, but if you accidentally turned it on, it can sit there and scan the system and think something's wrong when there's really not.
Okay. It seemed to happen after I received an update from McAfee 2 weeks ago.
That may be part of your problem. It may not indeed be shutting down correctly. And that may be McAfee's fault. The other thing is, I would suggest you dance the Security Tango.
Okay.
At securitytango.com, because many viruses resist shutting down.
Alrighty.
But what you're describing as a symptom occurs because the system did not correctly shut down the last time.
And it is intermittent. It seems to be happening 2 out of 3 times. It's not happening all the time.
Yeah, even so, yeah. It could be any of those things.
All righty, can do.
All right, good luck. That's one of the problems we're having nowadays in general with fixing computers. There are so many possibilities, and it's no, you know, it used to be real simple. Oh, that's because it didn't shut down correctly. Yep. The only thing that would cause that is either a badly installed program or a virus. Check your machine for viruses. Nowadays, we get a lot of,
it was very
update from McAfee, and it caused the problem. Yeah, we see that a lot now. And there's not much we can do about any of that, but give you now, instead of saying, here's your answer, now we do a lot of, here's a possibility, try it and let us know.
Well, like we said, it used to be very cut and dry, and now there's so many things that came into play, it come into play.
Right.
That it could be this or this.
That's got to also make it harder for you. It's got to take longer to fix any one machine than it used to.
Yeah, but you know what? People don't care. I mean, they still think, well, this shouldn't take you long.
Yeah, right. But that's my point, is that it now takes longer because there are more possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just like you say, before it could be something very, very cut, dry, and simple, but not anymore.
Yeah. All right, our next caller, Gary, from Amherst, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I ended up having both cable and DSL service for the next 6 months. And I have wired, all my computers in the house are wired, but I also have it set up so I can use wireless. And I have an extra extra router.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering, can I hook up one set of computers, for instance, on the DSL and the other set on the cable, maybe put the kid's Xbox on the cable and the kid's computer on the cable, and then connect the two of them?
You could.
How would I connect the two routers? I know how to set the two separate systems up.
Well, it depends on what router you have. Some of them have interconnection capability built into them, and you just have a special port for that. Otherwise, you have to have one. You have to have one. Listen, this is going to be longer than we have. Why don't you hold on, and when we come back from this commercial break, we'll answer your question. Is that a deal? Hello, hang on. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And it is indeed raining. I had not realized that. Of course, there for you. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 45 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. We've had Gary from Amherst on the line, and he has both cable and DSL routers. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah. Well, I have cable and DSL modems.
Modems.
I have cable and DSL service for the next 6 months, so I thought I'd try to use them both.
That's a pretty neat deal. Honestly, if it were me, I'd see if I could get a router that would let me put both of them on at once and double my speed.
Oh, there are routers like that?
Yeah, there are. You can split.
One send, one receive.
Right. Well, yes, but yeah, you can split them so that both are used simultaneously and you essentially double your speed.
And that would be a single router that all right.
Yeah, and I don't know, I have not looked for that feature in a home router. I know I can get that in a Cisco router, but that's got a comma in the price, so you don't really want that one. But it's very possible that would be a bit. That's the way I'd go. But if you wanted to do it the other way, if your routers allow you to chain them, you can do that. If you tell one router to get its IP address from the other router, then you can do the same thing. That's basically what you do. One of them becomes the master router. The other one gets its IP address from that one and becomes part of the same network.
Okay, yeah, I did that. I did that one time before two of my kids went away to college and they had the extra computers here. We used one. We just turned off the DHCP IP table or something like
exactly. that. Exactly, and then it just picks it up from the next one up the chain and everybody wins.
All right, and then but the one that has the DHCP table up could still be connected to the Internet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go.
Life is good.
So life is good. Our next caller is Mitch from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Mitch. What's your question?
Yes, I have a old Gateway multimedia 610 computer, and it's my daughter's computer, and it's had some issues. And right now, when you turn it on, after it comes in and you log in, the screen blanks out. It's first blacks out, then you get an image, and then it blacks out again, and then finally it eventually blacks out and you can't see anything. And of course, most of the time people improperly shut off the computer because graphics aren't very good when you can't see anything.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
And the question I have is, it had been serviced recently because of issues, so it's virus-free and hasn't been connected up onto the Internet in a while. Is this a situation where the graphics card may be going or the monitor is
going?
That's
what I would say first.
Well, yeah, it's one of several things. It's either the graphics card itself is going, it is not properly connected, make sure the connections are tight.
It's a sealed system, so it...
I know which one that is.
Yeah,
all right. But if it's been serviced recently, that may not have been reattached correctly.
But if you can try this unit on another monitor,
This is one of those all-in-one, like the old Mac.
iMac.
Bummer.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. The heavy laptop.
Suitcase.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know beyond that what to tell you. It could also be a driver. But anyway, those are the things to try, Mitch. I'm sorry we don't have a better answer for you, but when it's a sealed unit like that, that's kind of tougher. All right? Okay.
Uh-oh.
Thanks. I had one of those Gateway sealed units that my daughter used, and it had much the same kind of problem. Very hard to get anything added to it, very hard to fix anything yourself, very hard to do anything with it. All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55-0 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites.
Billy Jean. Michael Jackson.
See?
We're talking about the moonwalk, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was appropriate.
Can you do the moonwalk?
What's that?
Can you do the moonwalk?
No, I can't. Well, I can, but I'll injure myself like I did last time.
That's when you were in contraction for a couple weeks, wasn't it?
A DJ-related injury.
Rob Linton has been in a DJ-related injury.
Whoa, it's really raining.
Yeah, it is. All right, kiddies. It's too wet to go outside and play, so get your footy jammies on. Grab a cup of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. If we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave! It's Story Hour, Uncle Dave. We're here. Focus, Uncle Dave. Focus.
I got it.
Do we need to adjust his meds again?
I think so. All right, you know, it's funny that folks were, we had that one caller saying how he got stuck with Vista and trying to go to XP.
Yep.
You know, one of the other big scams I found out that's going around, too, a lot of folks are getting new machines, especially a lot of the college kids and that. They're getting machines that are, you know, getting ready to go to school. And that's one thing here's two things I really want to talk about. One, any of you parents that have kids, they're home from school right now, and you've got their computer, tell you what, do yourself a favor and see if it needs any servicing as far as cleanup.
Yeah, because how many kids the week before they go back say, I got to get this fixed.
Yeah, and it's not now, right. And then all of a sudden, they had all summer to take care of. Now all of a sudden is an emergency, and they got to have it because the kid's leaving in 2 days to go back to school. Take the time, check it out, have it cleaned up, and, you know, do the tango the whole 9 yards on. The other thing, though, is on these new machines, and this, I guess I'm in the wrong racket. Some of these companies are literally charging people an outrageous amount to, one, clean what they call the junk, the pre-installed software that you don't want in a machine. They're charging people, we'll do it for this fee, and it's like, you can do it yourself, folks. It only takes a few minutes to go into the ad remove programs, and delete the programs you don't want. The other thing that they're really nailing people on is to make up your backup DVDs for the system. Again, it is very user-friendly to do, and you should take the time to learn to do it and back your system up yourself, thus saving you money and you learn something, and they make it very easy. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or some big computer geek to do this stuff. You can handle it.
All right, Uncle Dave, your blood pressure is getting a little high.
I know it.
Time for your shot now.
I'm getting all red in the face.
Yes, you are. All right, kiddies, clean up your mugs, put them in the dishwasher. Get your clothes back on. We'll put Uncle Dave away for another week. Thank you, Uncle Dave, whatever it was you actually said. Actually, what you're... Very nice. See, here's the problem. When you actually give Rob... access to a sound effects machine, he is going to use it at some point.
I worry about him.
We all worry about him. In that sort of distant kind of way.
Yeah.
We'll be...
Very distant.
We're going to take a break. Glenn Lambert will be right back in. He's going to tell you all the latest
on
the...
Was that on camera?
The news... No, he was hiding behind the box. The news, the sports...
Oh.
And most particularly today, the weather. We got to be part of a breaking weather emergency. It was very exciting. And Glenn's now going behind the box to do whatever it is he does. Yeah, okay, fine. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on the other side of all of the mellifluous tones with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. So listen attentively to everything Glenn tells you for the next few minutes, and we'll be back on the other side of that at 58 minutes after the hour with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. It's the boys. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 8 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbite. Now, before we get back to the phone,
Satan.
Mo Leary, the cheese. Every week we do a poll on our website. Last week's poll was about which office suite you use, and 304 of you voted, making it number 154 in the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. The big winner, 47% of you use Microsoft Office, closely followed by Office OpenOffice.org at 31%. 9% of you use nothing. 5% Microsoft Works, 4% Apple Works, 2% WordPerfect Office, 1% NeoOffice. I'm shocked that anybody... Oh, no, NeoOffice. Yeah, that's the one on the Mac. 1% other. Nobody. One vote. One vote for iWork and one vote for StarOffice. So... That's last week's poll. This week's poll comes to us from a story issued just the other day. Microsoft said on Thursday that it expects to spend more than $1 billion, that's billion with a B, to repair widespread hardware problems with its Xbox 360 video game console after a large number of them broke. Microsoft said it would extend the warranty on the Xbox 360 to 3 years after too many of the consoles succumbed to, and I quote, general hardware failure, but the company provided few other details about the extent of the problems. We don't think we've been getting the job done, said Robbie Bach, president of Microsoft Entertainment and Devices Division, which also makes the Zune digital music player. In the past few months, we have been having to make Xbox 360 console repairs at a rate too high for our liking. Bach said the company made some manufacturing and production changes that he expects will reduce Xbox 360 hardware lockups, but he declined to identify the problems or say what others might remain. Microsoft said it will record a charge of up to $1.15 billion for the fourth quarter, just for a quarter. Can I just have the interest on that? To cover the additional costs associated with the warranty extension. Analysts have estimated that Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices Division has lost more than $6 billion since 2002. Wouldn't you like to have enough money that a division that loses $6 billion just keeps on keeping on? Nice stuff. That suggests that the
great
problem
country,
is
America.
Widespread. Yeah, I would suggest it is. Microsoft will pay for shipping and repairs for 3 years worldwide for consoles that experience hardware failure, which is usually indicated by three flashing red lights on the front of the console, something gamers refer to as the red ring of death. So previously, the warranty expired after 1 year for U.S. customers and 2 years for Europeans. So that's the deal with the Xbox 360. Those of you who've been patiently waiting for your PlayStation 3, it looks like there's going to be a $100 price cut on all models in the next month or two.
Well, they need to sell some of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the biggest thing, that, you know, the PlayStation 3 was so overpriced versus the,
any of the others.
The Wii?
The Wii or the Xbox 360 or the GameCube. Anyway, this week's poll is about what's your favorite game console. It doesn't look like the poll question is actually showing up here. That's kind of interesting. The choices are Dreamcast, GameCube, Magnavox Odyssey, which, by the way, was the very first game console. It included a game called Pong. Had overlays on the screen, and it included a game called Pong, which they broke off onto its own console later on, the Magnavox Odyssey, great product. PlayStation 3, Wii, Xbox 360, other, and games? We don't need no stinking games. So far, we've had, that was wrong. So far, we've had 81 people voting, and shockingly, games, we don't need no stinking games, is number one at 63%. Followed by other at 20%, followed by the Wii at 9%. 81 people have voted so far. When you're done voting, please feel free to check out the little yellow box underneath the poll and click on Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
He likes you.
I like that one. Where you can actually enter an opinion. And when you do that, you can then take a look around at all the other stuff I do. After all, I do run that website. I have forums and a newsletter and all the other cool things, which is only $15 a year. I don't know how you can beat it. And then come on back and join us on the Soundbites website for all the cool things we do there. Oh, and you know what? I should make mention. Several people wrote to me. Well, first, though, I want to say that on the opinion stuff at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
That's hot.
You're good. The very first opinion this week put up there by Mr. Ken Cooper. Yes, Ken is back. Ken is back. That's very cool. We're all excited. Ken used to be around all the time. He was much younger then and called himself Kenny. I suspect he prefers Ken now, being an older fellow. He's got to be all of, what, 18 now?
Yeah.
And I'm delighted to see that he's back. But several people wrote to me this last week. Last week I mentioned a new DVD I had gotten that had computer animated music on it. And it was called Animusic. And I started to do a little thing on it, and we got caught. And I stopped, and I never went back to it. If you're interested in my review, you can check it out at my other website, nickf.com. That's NickF.com. Ooh, very good. And you can check out my reviews. I've only got a few back up. I've been redoing this website, and I'm not anywhere near done yet, but the Animusic review is up, and you can find out all about the Animusic review there at that website. It's a pretty cool product, and I'm pretty impressed by it. So there's the return of the review, I guess.
Ooh.
All right. I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's a very interesting thing. What it is a DVD with jazz music on it, and they've animated it. They've put it, you know, to animation things. But it's not, you know, cute animals or cute fish or cute ogres or any of that sort of stuff. It's state of the art. But it's very whacked. The people who did this clearly are having flashbacks to the 60s. Let's just put it that way. Because what they've done is they've created sort of anamorphic instruments. Some of the instruments play themselves, and some of them are just kind of Rube Goldberg machines. But there's an amazing attention to detail. It really seems that the correct instruments play at the right times. And that if somebody's playing, if a guitar is playing itself and it's doing a riff, that the fingering is correct. And there's an amazing attention to detail. You know, there's it looks used. The drum heads have worn spots where the sticks hit and all of that stuff. It's just very, very cool. The music itself is terrific. There's two DVDs out right now. A third one is coming out. The DVDs are only $19.95 a piece. A combo back of the two is $34.71. I don't know where they got that number. But it's a very, very neat product, and I'm actually pretty impressed. I've played the DVDs for several people who've come over to my house, and they stopped talking to me and watched the DVDs. So I'm now saving it for the people I don't like. If I show you the DVD, it's because I don't want to talk to you. That's how that works now. I should be very careful because some people have heard the DVDs and are listening, I'm sure. But it's very imaginative. It's a whole lot of fun. It's really kind of fascinating. I can't imagine you wouldn't want to watch them. So they have samples on their website. And, again, my review has a link to their website. And I'll bet you get hooked like I did. It's actually very cool. The music is neat. The problem is playing it in the background. It's great background music. It's great music to begin with. So it's nice background music. The problem is you keep watching the DVD. Mm-hmm. You keep turning your head to watch the instruments play themselves and move around. And the Rube Goldberg machines, there's horns that pop out tennis balls or ping pong balls that bounce on the drums in rhythm. And it's just, oh, it's hysterically funny. It's great to watch. It's great to watch. And it's called, again, it's called Animusic. And it's at animusic.com, A-N-I-M-U-S-I-C. But check out my review. There are links to all of that stuff at nickf.com under the reviews section. And I've got several of my other reviews up there that I've talked about over the years. I haven't got them all back. I just really started putting this back up last night. I decided I wanted a very simple look for this website, a very nice look. Here's the cool thing. The background color is Cosmic Latte. It is, they say, the background color of the universe.
Latte?
Cosmic Latte. They actually
did,
you know, the scientists doing the wavelengths of this and that, and they discovered the current background wavelength is, and then they gave the color in hex. So you could put it into your website, and this is it. This is the background color of the universe, and they're calling it Cosmic Latte. I just thought I'd tell you that. So if you want to know what the background color of the universe is, hit my website and it'll tell you. We're back to the phones. We have time for the phones. Is that what we're doing? Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I just wiped my hard drive with a program called Wipe Drive, and I've tried reinstalling Windows. I've done it about two or three times now. And I'm missing controllers like USB controller, PCI simple controller, mm-hmm. Ethernet controller.
Yep.
All these things should be installed from the disk. They're not.
What, not always.
Okay. All Windows will do is put in the basic ones that it knows of.
And generic right. drivers.
But the other drivers, you might have to go up to the website for that particular manufacturer of the motherboard and download the drivers from them.
Who makes your machine?
Dell. And I've gone to the Dell website and downloaded some of those, and I've unzipped them, and I've gone to the specific location where I unzipped them, mm-hmm. and it still doesn't put them in.
What error message do you get?
The Windows is unable to locate the driver for that device.
Well, then that means that you're not putting the correct one in. When you go to the Dell website, are you putting that little sticker number? You know, it's usually a white sticker with the letter and number combination, yeah. maybe six or seven characters.
Yeah, they've got my specific machine still
right.
on
yep.
there and all the drivers that I would have needed.
Yeah, you're looking for any of the motherboard drivers. Now, quite often, though, they have quite a few there. And
right.
it might be a matter of finding out different versions even. So you might have to find out what version you have in your actual machine. Because they put up a generic list and maybe try a couple different ones until it installs it.
Yeah, they keep, you know, one of the things Dell does is keeps updating their pieces as they go along. It's the same model number, but may have very wildly different hardware.
Different revision.
Right. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's 1180 WHAF. Everybody, to my own theme song. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 25 minutes after the
hour. Like you're going to come charging in on a horse.
Or my own X-Wing fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which. This is my theme song. I don't know. I've never had a theme song.
You do now. You know you've made it. You could retire today.
I could retire. I'm done. I'm good. It's all over now for me. I'm so done. I don't know whose song it really is, but here at least it's my theme song. All right, we're going to go right to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Okay, I had two things go on. I tried to change identities in Outlook Express on my email, and the screen goes blank, and I never can open the Express again, Outlook Express. When I try to shut down the computer, it gives me a window that says perform_Windows. It's still running. Do you want to end the task? Once I kill that, restart the computer, it goes back, opens Outlook Express, except when I try to change identities again.
So you can open it under one identity, but when you try to go to another identity,
it closes. Now, when I open it up the next time, it's to the identity I was trying to change to, but I have to restart the computer to make it do that. And when I'm in the process of restarting, it gives me the message, perform_Windows is running. Do you want to end the program and lose data? I end it and restart the computer, and everything's hunky-dory until I'm switching identities again.
What OS are you running?
XP.
Service Pack 2.
Yeah.
You're using... What version of Outlook?
I'm not sure. It came with the Office 2000.
So that's 6 then?
Yeah.
This should be good.
Yeah, I'm locked up now, and I haven't restarted it. I can't open it up again.
Now, have you tried deleting one of the identities and redoing a new one?
Nope.
You might want to try that because one of them could be mucked up.
Uh-huh.
That's technical terms.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's Windows. I mean, that's why I don't like Outlook Express. I like using Firefox and Thunderbird for doing all my surfing and email.
Okay, I'm using Firefox for the surfing, but the...
The thing of it is you can try... importing your email and all that to Thunderbird and try that and set up the second identity, you know, so you can have multiple identities and check both at one time.
Oh, I can't do them under the same name, can I?
No, they have to be different names.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I don't want to screw up the emails that my wife has. That's the thing.
Well, she can't get to them anyway now, right?
Well,
she can on a reboot. But what it sounds like is something's corrupted
in
that identity.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So let me suggest this. Create a new identity and see if you can import the data from the old identity.
Okay.
Export it out. Yeah. Once you get into the old identity, export it.
Okay.
Create a new identity and import it.
Okay.
If that works, right? And you can get, I mean, I'm just saying, because that's only the name you use on screen. It doesn't have to... actually be the name they use out on the internet. It's just what you call it.
Right.
So you.
What I'm talking about is the email address. That's the identity.
Well, but the email, the identity can be any name you want.
Yes, true.
Me at work, me at home, whatever.
Yeah.
So you can call it test or something. I don't care what you call
yeah.
it. Point is, if you can then install that stuff, you can change the name and she can just use that name. She still retains the same email address out on the web.
Okay.
You know, it could be whatever her name is, Mary's email.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it whatever you want.
Okay.
And if you can import that, then your problem is over because whatever was corrupted isn't being used anymore.
Oh, okay.
If you can't export it, then you've got a separate problem and now it needs to be taken a look at by a professional.
Okay.
Sorry.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, I'm not a huge fan of Outlook Express to begin with, but it's what the system comes with. What are you going to do?
Yeah, a lot of folks just assume that they have.
Right, exactly. And you don't. You can pick anything you like. Our next caller is John from East Bloomfield. Welcome, John. What's your question?
I've got a question on configuring and enabling the fax service in Windows XP. I'm running Windows XP Service Pack 2 on a Dell Dimension desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Currently have a DSL modem that I use and also have a telephone fax modem installed.
Mm-hmm.
And the setup should be extremely easy. And when I do it...
Who told you that?
Mr. Microsoft.
Huh?
Mr. Microsoft.
To be honest with you, if you can sign a copy of WinFax Pro, use that, you'll love it.
Okay.
That's what I use on, I've got a, because I don't want to deal with a lot of these, you know, faxes and that special paper and all this other, and I get a lot of junk faxes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got on one of my computers running the Windows XP, WinFax Pro version, I think it's 8 or 9, forget which one. It works fantastic. It runs in the background. The phone line, you know, if an incoming fax comes in, boom, no problem. I can, you know, receive it, look at it. If I don't want it, I delete it. And I can also fax out from that, even though I'm on Frontier DSL.
And you can fax out a Word document or an Excel
file? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Works fantastic and it's more reliable.
Right. To set it up under XP is a half a dozen different steps. To start with, add remove program, select the fax services, click next. The Windows Component Wizard actually does the installation. That's just installing it. That's easy. But to configure it is a half a dozen different steps. You have to start with the fax console configuring fax. You have to configure the sender information. You have to select the device. You have to put the TSID and the CSID in. You have to put in routing options. There's a lot to setting it up. It is not easy. It can be done. It's just you've got to set up all of those pieces at once or it won't ever work.
Okay. My problem, I can't get a fax console to appear. Whether I set it up using the Dell Utility Disk or the original.
So if you go to Start, All Programs, Accessories, Communications, Fax, and then click Fax Console, it never comes up?
No, it says empty. After Fax Services.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No matter what set of disk I use. And, in fact, if you watch the printer fax page, it appears to add a line below my existing printer.
Yeah.
And about less than a second later, it disappears.
What it sounds like is you don't have the right driver for the fax server, the fax modem you've got. It doesn't believe there's a fax there.
Well, it doesn't know of a lot of the different ones. Yeah, you can buy right now. I'm looking here. I did a next tag search.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get WinFax Pro version 10 for about $25.
Okay.
And like I say, it works fantastic. It's very easy to set up. It'll detect your modem. It'll have the drivers for it. Whereas Windows, right.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I've used that so long, and that's why I've got to stick with Windows XP, because, again, Microsoft with Vista is saying they will not, nor will they ever, support any other faxing program except their own.
Right.
And trying to get it set up, we tried it for a day and a half. Dan and I were both trying to, just for the heck of it, trying to get it to configure. Forget it.
Yeah, it's a very limited number of
features
of modems and a very limited number of features once you get it running.
Yeah.
It's just, you get WinFax Pro and you're better off. That's one of the great programs from Symantec.
But you know what? They won't allow you to use WinFax on Vista.
Really?
Yep. They said, sorry, nope, won't work on this version. You've got to use Microsoft. And like I said, we spent a day and a half trying to get the Microsoft to work under Vista. And forget it. Brain surgery would be simpler.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So that's why I said, the heck with it. I said, this machine's going to run XP for one heck of a long time.
Yeah, right. Or you can put up a Windows box and put Hilofax on it. Anyway, our next caller is Ted from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's your question?
The question is, I'm looking to wipe some hard drives, and I'd like to know what best freeware software is out there that's available, or do I have to actually go out and purchase something that would do a half-piece job?
No, if you go to, PCWorld.com, they've got a lot of utilities there. There's freebies and everything else, and the reason I like telling folks to go to PC World is because a lot of this stuff has been tested by them.
Okay.
So, if you do a search for their utilities for scrubbing a hard drive, they'll probably have three or four of them to recommend.
Okay. But, I picked out something off the web that was for Linux. It was a Linux-based scrubber. but I just couldn't get it to load.
Yeah. One of the things that you can also run if you're looking for a free one is active at, the at sign like in a an email address. Active at Kildisk. It's supposed to be mil-spec. So, you know, it will do, it will sanitize to the U.S. Department of Defense specification.
Okay. And that's a freeware, you said? Or
yeah, that's free. And and again, that comes from CNET, download.com, you know, PCWorld.com, same idea. It's called Active at Kildisk.
Active at Kildisk. Thank you very much.
Sure, good luck.
Yeah, that's another one I like going to, too, is CNET.
Yep, very good.
Remember when the TV program used to be on?
Yeah, I do. That was kind of fun.
Oh, who was that? She started her career there.
Soledad O'Brien.
Yes.
Sure.
No, she...
I knew that's who you're thinking of.
Yes. Yeah, she literally started there on CNET. She's pretty good at it.
Yeah, she is. She was very good at that. Now I think she's at MSNBC, I think.
Yep. Yes, she is.
I don't remember. But yeah, one of the things that that is very important nowadays is if you're going to get rid of a machine, if you're going to get rid of the hard drives, you need to make them unreadable.
Yeah.
Best way to do that is with an axe. If you don't have an axe, there are mil-spec devices that you can buy, big erasers. They probably got them here somewhere, still sitting around, the bulk erasers. That disk will be gone with the big magnets. But if you're going to do it by software, a product like ActiveAt, the Kildisk program from the ActiveAt Kildisk program will do that for you and wipe it to the point where you have to have an insanely good program to be able to get the data out of it. Now, there are some, like Encase, that's tens of thousands of dollars. It's not like the average human is going to have that. So the question is, how good does it have to be? If you're trying to hide stuff from the government, take an axe to it. If you're trying to hide it from the average, drill through it, put a couple of drill holes in it. If you're trying to hide it from the average user, then something like ActiveAt Kildisk will be more than adequate. So that should be
PC World.
Yeah, Active Kildisk. Yep. Yeah, it's actually a pretty neat program. And like I said, it does, it's essentially the Department of Defense has a rating, you know, that you have to be able to meet before they'll, they have a standard DOD 520, 5220.22-M, if you need to know that, if that's important to you. So it's a U.S. Department of Defense clearing and sanitizing standard. So that's it. Data should be gone at that point. It not only works on hard drives, but it also works on floppy drives. And I suppose, although it doesn't say so, that it would also work on USB drives, mm-hmm. since they look like a hard drive.
Yeah.
Right. So anytime you want to get rid of something for real, that's probably it is a free download. That is, I think, a demo. I believe the thing, if you actually were to buy it, it would cost you a few bucks. So I'm not entirely certain what the features are for free. Active Kildisk itself, I'm just getting to the website now, and of course they don't seem to want to give you, there is a download and a buy. Oh, I see. Here it is. The free one doesn't do it as one pass and things like that. So, the free one is not 5220 compliant. So, so if you buy it and it doesn't cost, you know, depending on what you need, it's like, if you're buying it for DOS, directly for DOS, it's $40. If you want it for Windows, it's $50. Big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really looking
to... you want to protect your information.
Yeah, how...
How important is it?
How important is your identity? It should be worth $50 to you, you would think. Right, so that's the kind of thing that goes for. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Lynch, and me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Lynch.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbite. It stopped raining. I just thought you'd want to know that. You're always on me to do the weather and give a little weather.
You're the one who didn't realize it started in the first place, and you're sitting next to a window.
It's behind me. I'm looking at you. You're my producer. I'm waiting every second to get a good cue from you.
Every time I give you a cue such as, hey, let's take a break, you ignore that, but you want me to give you weather cues.
I never mind. I'm not talking to you anymore. Our next caller is Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen. What's your question?
Hi. My question is about SpyBot. When I was downloading an update for SpyBot Search and Destroy, it didn't appear to download all of the items that were checked, and a DOS window popped up at the end. It was there so briefly I didn't get to see what it said,
mm-hmm.
and then it just vanished.
Yep.
The computer seemed to work okay, but then the next time I booted the machine, the splash screen for Windows XP kept scrolling, and then it dropped into the screen where you can pick the user and go on, and it seemed to work all right from there. But I've tried to run SpyBot since, tried to download new updates, and it says that, no newer updates are available. And I'm just wondering if I'm getting a false positive or if there's anything I should worry about here or not.
Well, let me suggest that you completely uninstall SpyBot.
Okay.
Well, first, download a new version.
Well, the same it is, though.
Completely uninstall it and reinstall it and see if you may have gotten a bad download.
But also, a couple of the updates, yes, will open up like a DOS window because it's installing some of the other features. And then, it'll want to restart. So that is common on some of the updates.
Okay.
So don't be alarmed at that.
Oh, it opened a DOS. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it opened the DOS window and installed some of the other features because it's within Windows.
All right. I missed quite what she was saying. Yeah.
So that is
normal.
Oh, yeah,
that's fine.
So you don't have to worry about there. And, yes, SpyBot, they update, maybe once a week? Again, it depends on how much stuff is being, out there and they're catching and everything else.
Uh-huh.
So, don't be surprised if it's, a week or so. You're not going to find something there every day.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I was just wondering if there's anything to worry about. Thank you.
All right.
If you go in there, and the other key thing, though, within SpyBot, so folks remember this, is once you do download the updates, make sure you also click on the immunization button, because if you don't click on that, it doesn't add it to the list. So you click on immunize and, tell it to add it to the list, and it keeps building that list up of the number of things that it's looking for when it scans and keeps you clean.
All right. Excellent. Thanks. Thanks, Colleen. Harry Potter, the new Harry Potter book is due out in about a week. Hackers are attempting to exploit Pottermania with the release of a worm that attempts to infect USB drives. Didn't I do this one already? I did this one already. Why am I redoing that?
Did you enjoy it?
It was so good the first time, I just couldn't help myself. Oh, here's a great story. A man has been arrested under tightened anti-piracy laws in New York after allegedly recording the sci-fi blockbuster Transformers, which I saw and enjoyed and can't remember a thing about. That's how lightweight it was. I do remember the acting was horrible, including John Turturro, and I never thought I would say that John Turturro was bad in something. He was just, chewing the scenery left and right. He was terrible. But a guy named Calio Diallo has been charged with unauthorized use of a video camera in a cinema. That's actually an offense now. Under upgraded legislation, he could face 6 months in jail and fines of up to $5,000 if found guilty. Mr. Diallo was arrested after allegedly smuggling a video recorder, video player, and remote control into a preview of the film in the Bronx. He was later released without bail and ordered to return to court on 20th of September. This is the first time someone's been arrested and charged with the new illegal camcording law. The Motion Picture Association America, the much-beloved MPAA, says more than 40% of bootleg films in the U.S. are secretly taped in New York cinemas. We're number one. Okay. New York City, yeah. The copies are, we're in the state. We got to be 41% anyway, right? The copies are frequently sold for mass reproduction or posted on the Internet, sometimes within hours of the film opening. Pirated films cost major U.S. studios more than $6 billion in 2005, according to the Trade Association. I have to say that one day I was at a place that I won't mention, and there was a fellow set up there, and it was the week before the opening of Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds, and he had a DVD of it for $6. I had to buy it. I had to buy it just to see what it was going to be. I figured it was either the old movie with Gene Barry or something else, but it turned out to, in fact, be the movie and it was quite obvious that it was a camera hidden under a jacket. Because for about half the movie, there was a zipper hanging in front of the screen. It was a zipper pull, the pull of the zipper.
Yeah.
It was so funny. There's, that camera was slightly tilted. It looked like it was done by the guy from Batman. At one point, you hear, and the screen goes blank. He threw his jacket over it. Then later on, it comes back up, and that's when the zipper dangle in front of the... Oh, it's hysterical. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 50 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 50 more for...
Man.
54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. On 1180 WHAM.
Sure, easy for you to say.
No, apparently it wasn't. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
The other day I went to Eastview Mall at the Max, went into the Max store and talked to a salesman and asked him, I explained to him that I'm running Vista right now, but I'm considering buying a Mac. And I told him on my Vista machine, you know, it's loaded up with a firewall, antivirus, couple spyware. And I said, do I have to do the same thing if I buy a Mac? And he says, absolutely not. He says, you buy a Mac, you don't need a firewall, you don't need antivirus, you don't need spyware. He says, there's no intrusions against a Mac because of it, I guess, the operating system. I don't know much about it.
All right, let me stop you right there, Bob. Either he's an idiot or he's lying to you. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. The Mac comes with a firewall. You don't have to worry about that. But as for the rest of it, A, there are some viruses for the Mac. They're not a lot of them. They're not very bad ones, but they're out there. And that says nothing about whether there will ever be any in the future. And more importantly, it doesn't matter what operating system you're on. You're a citizen on the Internet. And that means you're going to be sharing emails. You're going to be sharing URLs. You're going to be doing all this other stuff with people who are on other operating systems. It behooves you to run an antivirus program and run all that other stuff so that you don't pass on any of those things. Just because they can't hurt you doesn't mean they can't hurt other people, and you'd have to be an incredibly selfish moron to not want to help out other people. I run Linux, and I'm in the same position. There's very little against my machine and very little that's a problem for my machine and very little that doesn't get fixed within a couple hours of the problem being discovered. And I still run antivirus. And I still, well, I'm running a firewall on my router, but I still run antivirus and I still run all that stuff because I don't want to accidentally pass that stuff on to somebody else. There are a couple of programs that work for the Mac. There's Norton had an antivirus program. I don't know if Virex still exists or they got bought by Norton. Clam AV works great. There used to be Sophos and RAV. That was for mail servers, really. But Clam AV works great. If you do a Google search for Clam AV, C-L-A-M space A-V, or you can actually put them all together, Clam AV, it'll take you to that to their website, Clam Antivirus, the clamav.net, and you can do a download from there for whatever operating system makes you happy. And
right, I ask him, I go, what do you base this on if you're saying no? He says, because in a Mac world, he says, doesn't have .exe files. It doesn't have executables, so that's why you're not prone to those kind of attacks.
Of course it has executables. If it didn't have executables, how would you execute anything?
Well, that's what he told me. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not impressed by it. I'm sorry. I don't know this guy. I don't care. But it makes me angry when somebody says you don't need an antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
First, any machine needs an antivirus program. And secondly, if you're going to share any sort of files with somebody else, you're just being a good person to make sure that file is clean before you pass it on.
Because you're talking about Unix and it runs kernels, and you was above me. I didn't know anything about the Mac. You're talking about it when you have kernels and Unix, and that's why you don't need that stuff and it doesn't have executables. So maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, I'm sorry, but he doesn't. Every operating system has executables. Otherwise, you couldn't run anything.
Okay. All right, thanks very much.
I'm sorry. I hate to be rude about that, but basically, duh. All right, I guess I've been rude enough for one week. That means we're pretty much done at this moment. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Next week, call earlier and call more often. Again, I apologize, but
it's just...
I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Can't even talk about it. We'll be back next time. Don't forget to check out our forums. Please answer the poll. Check out AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And my reviews at NickF.com.
That's NickF.com.
And we'll be back next week for Dave Enright, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 58 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening. See you next week.